All right. So here we are. We're jumping back into it. And I hear with me is Dead Mike. How are you doing?
I don't know. I'm supposed to be dead, aren't I?
Shut up. We're doing the podcast. We're going to delve into a movie here from 2014 by Adam Green.
Oh, God. I forgot it was 2014.
It's from a while back. Well, it's made then. I don't think a lot of people really started seeing it until about 2015. But yeah, I think it's originally from 2014.
Thank you, Netflix.
The movie is called Digging Up the Marrow. It's directed and actually stars Adam Green, who most people would know from the movie The Hatchet series.
Smash Your Face In, yes.
Coffee and Donuts, which has a kind of a cult following.
That I don't know.
Chillerama.
I should know that one.
And Frozen. And no, not the Let It Go one.
Oh.
This isn't about a two girls and one of them, you know, happens to be happens to have magical powers that freezes people over.
So lesbian.
Yeah, more or less is what it says. This one's about two people who get stuck on a ski lift. And they're stuck there.
Is there a man named Hans?
No. But guess what? On a ski lift, you just can't let it go. You'll fall and die. Thank you, Disney. Just right off the bat, the movie's called Digging Up the Marrow. It's presented as a documentary. Now, quite honestly, I'll be honest, if they changed one or two cast members, it would have been totally believable, but it's fine. It is a movie, and obviously you're going to know it's a movie. But the other main character in the movie is played by Ray Wise, who people would know from Twin Peaks, RoboCop. He was one of the bad guys in the original RoboCop movie.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And I think he was a Reapers. There was a show on like a couple of years ago about a guy who has to bring souls back to hell.
Isn't that the goofy devil show?
Yeah. He was the devil in it. Ray Wise plays the other guy in the movie. Now, if it wasn't him playing, if it was some random person you've never seen, you probably could have pulled it off as a real documentary. But being that we recognize the face Ray Wise, we were like, you're lying.
Well, also on top of it, I think if he wasn't in this movie,
but
it wouldn't have been as good.
But the story, damn. Yeah. All right, tell us what this story is about. And by the way, I'll say it right now before we start, spoilers out the yin yang, because we really want to just jump into this storyline because oh my God.
Well, we're safe. It's been 2 years. You can't complain.
Yeah, if you ain't seen it yet, you can go rent it. And even if we tell you what's happening, guess what? Take a chill pill, forget what we told you, and then watch it and scare you the bejesus at yourself.
Okay, so how am I supposed to get into this now? So basically the story starts and it's, what's his name? Adam Green. Adam Green, like, you know, he's been basically just doing Hatchet. He's in those offices and he, of course, gets his fan mail. Tons and tons and tons of fan mail. There's one, though, that's been sticking out to him more than everybody else. And it's from what the letters look like, a lunatic. He gets them, I think like weekly or monthly. They don't really go that deep in the detail, but the guy says he's got a secret. It's something important.
Consistently been sending these letters about this and that.
Oh, yeah. And he really has something important to tell Adam Green. And Adam Green's, you know, of course, why me? So he's curious enough to go out of his way and find this lunatic. He goes to this old, weird-looking house. The lawn is dead. The house is not really kept in any way. Mm-hmm. Knocks on the side door. And, of course, we have Ray Wise.
Who's going by a character name, but that's not important because we're just going to call him Ray Wise.
Yeah, Ray Wise works. So Ray Wise lets him into the house, and you see, basically, it looks like he just moved in. Everything's in boxes, and the whole section of the house is just formed to paintings and the weird desk, and you kind of get to figure a little backstory about him, and he talks about himself and explains what's really going on. The reason he wants him to come by is because he has a hunch. The hunch is that it's based on the idea that throughout human history, there's always been the freaks, the weirdos, the strangers. And when they're kids, everyone freaks the hell out. There's always pictures.
Oh, my God, this baby was born with two faces, or this guy has like five eyes on his head.
Or it kind of looks like a goat, like, you know.
Three testicles. Oh, my God, the horror.
Kind of like the Jersey Devil kind of story.
Yeah, these freaks are born when they're kids. Everyone here, you hear about them. Oh, woman gave birth to this. Woman gave birth to that. Look with this and that. And then what happens to these people? You never know.
They just disappear. They disappear out of the story, the history. You know, all of a sudden, everyone just stops talking about them. Ray Wise's character was curious. What the hell is that? What's going on? Where are all these kids going? He looks into it. Now, he's been traveling across the country, and you start to find out what's going on.
Yeah, because he mentions he used to be a private investigator.
He's a retired private investigator, and Never do you really find out, though, that what made him retire or what's really going on, what started this whole thing for him, where his interest came. So he's looking into it, and he starts going across the country, finding these holes in the ground. And he starts watching them at night. No lights, no camera, absolutely quiet. And he's watching them. Basically, like, you know,
he's been following the clues and the trails where all these freaks might have gone, and he's basically found what he thinks is their underground society. And not just underground as in, haha, you don't know where we're living. Like, it seems to be literally under the ground.
Yeah, they like to perch in graveyards in the strangest places. And also, I'm assuming strange occurrences follow with them, and we'll get into that. But really, he's just been going around the country, and he's got a road map of where he's been stopping. And I think that they're in California, this place, right?
Yeah, because I know the beginning of it's funny you said that. The beginning of the movie starts off with what looks like them at him talking to other celebrity friends, Adam Green, that is, talking to other celebrity friends at what looks like might be San Diego Comic-Con. Because you see Tony Todd, who's from Candyman, Night of Living Dead remake, is in it. He's talking about how he grew up with monsters. So he's introducing, you know, everyone you see in monster movies, talking about how they believe, you know, what their view on monster is. There's singer of Gwar, Sarungus is there and everything right before he passed. Lloyd Kaufman, who everyone would know, is the guy who basically is the man behind Trauma Films, and that's the company that put out the Toxic Avenger and everything.
Yes.
You see them talking about monsters, their view on it, and the whole deal here is Ray Wise's character is basically just saying, I've been investigating, and what we call monsters are based on real people, these freaks that were born. And basically he went to Adam Green and is like, I found where the monsters live. That's the whole deal here. He's, I found where they're living. And he nicknames the underground whatever dwelling, he calls it the Marrow. Hence the movie, the name Digging Up the Marrow.
It's actually a really interesting concept. And it's cool because Adam Green, of course, being a horror writer, horror director, he's a big plot point of this film is that he just wants it to be real so bad.
Yeah, his whole life, career, and everything he does is based around horror, around monsters. And here, you're telling me you might have the real deal? So you see him having conversations with his wife and his partners that are filming and everything. And they're like, yo, I mean, if this is for real, fine. If this is not for real, at least we humored a guy. Maybe we get some interesting story out of it.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, of course, it starts to go into him talking about his experiences. And like I was saying before, the house is covered in these weird photos and pictures. And they're all hand-drawn, and they're not drawn by him. He goes into explicit detail, Ray Wise's character, I don't draw them.
Yeah, I'm a horrible drawer. Yeah, he mentions he's gotten couple of artists to draw them and stuff. He goes and just tells them what they saw, and he gets an artist rendition of them. And some of them are pretty cool. Like,
some of them are pretty cool, but some of them are absolutely freaky.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's, I can't even remember. I think he names it Smiley. And all it is just two legs and a leather sack with a smiley face on it.
I mean, it sounds kind of dirty, but it's a ball sack with legs and a face.
Pretty much. And the whole thing with that character is that it's horrific looking, and it wears a burlap sack over itself. This character, as he puts it, is considered the guardian. So this guy was seen walking around the marrow, outside of it, inside of the entranceway, and he's protecting it.
Yeah, because he mentions how, he's been following it. He I know he names places. He's like, I've seen it, you know, they're behind abandoned buildings, abandoned houses, burnt out houses, in like deep forests here and there. And he goes on to explain how it's not just like they're hiding in a hole. He makes it sound as if there's a whole city underground, which is funny because it's kind of like you mentioned, I remember last time, it kind of reminiscent of Nightbreed, where the freaks live underground and everything.
It's kind of like Nightbreed, if you've ever seen that film before. It's kind of like a really messed up Nightbreed.
And it's from the other people's point of view, not the Nightbreeders, whatever they call themselves, the Moon Knights or whatever. I forget what they're called. The whatever, but
Count Chocula and his buddies.
The Count Chocula, Booberry, Fruit Brute, Frankenberry. So they're all living under there, and, you know, essentially, Adam Green follows Ray Wise and goes, all right, so you see them, they're talking, history, you know, I've been doing this, I've been following them here, I've seen them do this, I've seen them do that, everything seems cool. So he's like, well, you know, we've been going back and forth a while, I'm going to show you where I found one of the entrances around here.
Well, before we get into that, we also should talk about some of the other things he says during the interview. Goes into one of his childhood stories with an event. I think this is what really
kicked it off for him. Why he was, it just stuck in his head.
I think he lives somewhere out west, somewhere just secluded, and there was a paper mill or something like that. Or basically, they were just cutting down trees in the area, and it was an abandoned paper mill. Mm-hmm. And he used to go play there as a kid. And obviously, from the way he describes things, he makes it sound even more like the character is an absolute lunatic.
Not only that, I don't know if you've ever been near a paper mill.
It smells like shit.
Oh, yeah, it's horrendous. So who wants to play around that? So it's understandable if you saw something near a paper mill.
Yeah, so he's at the paper mill, and he would play around by himself, make up stories, pretend he was the hero of the night fighting the dragons. And one day, he's playing his game at the paper mill, and he sees a figure off in the distance. He goes to investigate it. As a kid, you're curious, you don't know better. He walks up to it, he gets near, closer. He sees a man with a snake head.
Yeah, scaly and everything. Yeah.
Scaly and everything, snake head, with a mouth that looks like it could open up like a snake. You know, it could consume a whole person. Mm-hmm. He sees it, and he follows it. And he sees it climb down into a hole and disappear. And eventually, he keeps coming back to that hole, and one day, that hole is gone. It's just buried.
And it just, and it, that stuck with him. And then, you know, as he got older, eventually, he just, I guess something else, they don't go into detail what triggered him to start as an adult. They just say, you know, it's been something that's in the back of his head as a kid, and I guess something else triggered it, but we kind of have an idea what triggers it, but we'll bring that up later. So, now you know. I know where the monsters are. I'm going to show you. We know his backstory. He's a sharp guy. He doesn't seem like he's crazy. I mean, he says it's a paranormal... not paranormal, just a private, I keep saying paranormal.
Yeah, because he talks about how he was watching one, and I forget what he calls her. Yeah, he has names for them. Crazy stuff. And there's a scene, Adam Green comes up with a really great name for one of the monsters.
Yeah, they finally eventually see something, and they're talking about it. He's like, what, and he goes to Adam Green, why don't you name it? And he goes, no, I couldn't. He goes, fine. And then Ray Wise is like, no, go on, name it. No. And that's your department. You name it. And then Ray Wise, what did he name it? Do you remember?
Something ridiculous like Pencil Neck.
Yeah, it was like, I'm going to call him Pencil Neck. And then Adam's like, that seems cheesy. Well, I let you name it and you didn't come up with anything. What's wrong with that? I like that. Okay. Calm down. He's very, not defensive, but like quick to get
agitated. Aggravated, yeah. And like he's talking about one story. And this one actually, I mean, this entire movie creeped me out. I don't know about you.
It's presented in a very realistic manner. It's not a found footage, but it's presented as a documentary. Like I said, once again, if it wasn't Ray Wise, if it was someone else I did not recognize from anywhere, yeah, you could show it to anyone and pull it off as, this is a real documentary.
But he's talking about one of them he follows into the neighboring town. And what happens is the neighboring town has a bar in it, like most, and he finds that this girl stands outside the bar, and she waits for men, especially on rainy nights. And the reason is the rainy nights is she stands there super thin. You can't see her face because it's covered up by a big messed up umbrella. Yeah. She waits for men to come outside completely obliterated. She'll pick them up like she's going to take them home and basically sleep with them.
Yeah, I want to come back to my place or whatever. And she, yeah, so yeah, that's right. And she picked up some college boy or something.
Walks away with him, takes him into the marrow. So this is when, before they go, actually, this is when Ray Wise's character goes into detail about something that they need to know before they start investigating it. Just like our society, where we have the good people and the bad people, so does this one. You have good creatures that are just trying to live and don't want to be bothered. And then you have basically their psychopaths. She's considered one.
Yeah, because he's hinting. He doesn't say as proof what happened, but basically he's like, yeah, I mean, the kid went with her and then the kid was never seen from again. He, you know.
Oh, no, they did find him. In the river.
They found him in a river
a couple miles down the road, completely arms, legs torn off, completely cut up, face ripped off, just complete horrifically disfigured.
Yeah, so bitch is crazy.
Yeah.
So don't trust no bitches with umbrellas in the middle of the night.
No. So now they're finally going to see this stuff for themselves.
And yeah, they go, it's in apparently in some kind of like park or preserve or whatever.
It's like
and
a cemetery.
Yeah, and they're getting yelled at. You got to leave when the sun goes down. Okay, fine, we'll leave when the sun goes down, but they kind of hide and then the ranger leaves. And basically they film that he points to where it is. He goes, "No, we can't go to the opening. But we can film it from back here." So they wait. The sun goes down. They're filming. And the guy's annoyed. He goes, okay, I can't really see. I'm not getting anything. It's dark as all hell over there. Can I turn on the lights? No. No lights. The guy keeps telling him, no lights. They cannot know we're watching them.
I think he says it's because if they find out that they're being watched, they immediately go into protective mode, defensive. They'll scare. They'll do whatever they have to get you to go away.
And the hole will be gone.
And they'll be gone.
And then that kind of hole kills the hole, what you're trying to
film. And he says that this hole has been the one that he's been watching the longest. It's been here the longest. It's the biggest hole with the most activity so far. He doesn't want Adam Green and his chuckleheads to mess it up.
His chuckleheads, yeah, basically.
Well, because the guys that are with him are kind of retarded.
Yeah, I mean, they're arguing. And it's funny because the whole time, so, you know, the whole time there is some back and forth going on between Adam Green and his people because they spent the first night there. They get nothing. The guy, I mean, you hear them filming and you're seeing it and it's dark. You can just barely make out the trees and the floor. That's how dark it is. And you see the Ray Wise is like, you see, there's something there. And they're just kind of like, I don't see Dick. It's there. Oh, it's gone now. Yeah, what'd the camera get? Well, the camera didn't get anything because it's freaking dark. It won't let me turn on the lights. So after the first night, they're discussing it. Adam Green's not sure whether to believe it. And he's talking with his people and his people are a bit upset. Like, look, you're putting a lot of energy into this wacko. And at the moment, Adam Green has a TV show he's been doing. I forget what it's called. He's producing and filming this TV show, which is on TV. And they're like, this needs your attention. We have to start filming this, this, and that. And you're putting all your attention on this guy. And he's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I got this. I can do both. I can multitask. I'm not me for just, you know, no reason at all.
And then, you know, he goes back. He's talking with the guy, and then before they go back, before they go back to the entrance again, the hole of the marrow, he has to go do his like I said, he works in horror. He has to go do his job. He has to go to conventions.
Yeah.
So he goes to conventions and this and that, and you see him at conventions and you see him talking to other people, and he's talking to people. He brings it up. You see him talking to one people. I don't remember the other director. He talks to Mick Garris. Who's people know he's the guy who did Critters 2, Fly 2. He actually did the movie Hocus Pocus. You see him walk up and the guy's like, wait a minute, you're talking to who? Oh, I know that guy. That guy's been like talking to everyone in the horror industry, trying to get people to listen to his story. But it sounds like they didn't give the guy any credibility because they think it's just a movie pitch the guy's trying to throw at them. And then they're like, you're working with that freak? They're like, Adam Green's kind of like no, and they're like, he's working with him. He's working. You know what? Good luck, man. I don't want to get involved. Just leave us out of it. And then he goes back, and
this time they're kind of mad.
He's kind of mad. He doesn't bring it up. He's kind of mad at Ray Wise because the Ray Wise guy's like, yeah, you're the only person I told about this. I haven't gone to anyone else. Meanwhile, he just found out all these big time directors are like, yeah, this guy's been hounding us.
And Ray Rice's character is kind of strange. The more you listen to him, the more he goes back and forth between what he's actually saying. He'll say one thing and completely contradict himself the next time you see him.
Yeah, because at one point, because when he goes back, Adam keeps trying to dig. First of all, now he's upset. So now he feels like he's not being honest with him because he's like, you're telling me, you know, he doesn't ask the guy directly. He just goes back and he kind of just let ask him, so you haven't gone to anyone else with this, right? He goes, no, only you. Okay. And then they're talking more about the monsters or whatever. And they're looking at more pictures, and it goes, oh, who did your artist draw this one? And this is where Ray Wise slips. No, my son drew this, and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, wait, what? Hold on. Back up a second. You didn't, Adam's like, you never mentioned a family. No, don't worry about it. Anyway, and he's like, you know, Adam's like, back the fuck up. What did you just say? You never mentioned family. And the guy's like, we're here to talk about the monsters, okay? We're talking about the monsters. So he doesn't want to get into all that. So now Adam's like, Jesus Christ, this guy's really not telling us anything. He's fucking lying to me about who he went to. Now, apparently he mentions his son, and now I have to suddenly, act like he never mentioned anything. And Adam's kind of letting it go. He wants to see what's going to build because they're going back to the hole.
For the second time.
Back to the well, going back this time. Mm. And this is when the love happens.
Yes, things finally get interesting. They're watching the hole and they start arguing with Ray Wise's character because he's just yelling at them. They're not going to see anything and they know they're not going to see it. Everyone thinks they're crazy. They got to get something this time. So without his permission, they just flash a light quick.
Yeah, because they're like, there's there. There's nothing there, man. No, I see. There's something there. Turn the light on. No, no, no. Just use the infrared. No, turn the light on. They're arguing. And you see them. The camera, like, can pick them up to themselves. You can see them. But in the distance, he can't see anything. And then he's like, fuck it. I'm turning the light on. Turns the light on for a second. There's something in their face for, like, a split second. And it runs off, and you see them scream.
Oh, yeah. They freak the hell out. And I got to say, when I saw that, I was not...
Oh, you got a little jumpy. And I told you, I was warning you too when it was coming. I'm like, it's coming. Oh, it's going to be right in your face. It's going to be like, it's going to taste like real butter now. That's what I'm talking about. It's coming.
This movie, there was a point in this movie, and you know what? It's
it really builds tension.
It builds tension. But there was actually a point in the film, I think like maybe we had a half hour, maybe 45 minutes left of the film. We paused it. I had to walk away for like half an hour and just calm down. Get relaxed so I can continue watching this film.
It really, yeah, because as much as you know, like even like I said, as much as you know, this is a movie, this is not real, it's still the way they're presenting it, it's the anticipation that they're building up on here because you know they've got to get to something. This movie is not going to be about, yeah, this guy told us his monsters, showed us his monsters, we didn't see shit, so we said fuck you and we left. You know, it's building to something, and it's the fact that you're waiting for it and waiting for it, all that warning. Woo! Head pop off.
Especially right in the beginning when they tell you about something like, oh, there's ones that will try and kill you, yes.
Yeah, there's dangerous ones. And, well, you film, they get something on camera.
So they finally bring it back to Adam Green's office, right?
They go back to Adam Green's office, but Ray Wise leaves pissed. I told you not to turn the lights on. That's it. We're not working with each other anymore. They leave. And they take it back. Yeah, they take it back to his editors, and they're looking at it slow motion. And yeah, that's the best part. If you want, yeah, you go into what you tell them.
So you have a bunch. What I would say, what two or three famous horror names?
Yeah, looking at it.
Well, I don't actually remember the names.
Well, he has the editor and another guy come in. I know. Well, I don't remember who because he shows it to someone outside of the office. But in the office, because it's the editing office, Kane Hodder shows up because he played Hatchet and everything. So he shows up. And he's showing them the footage.
Oh, and they're great. Oh, how did you do this? How did you get the makeup? I'm not so big on the lighting.
It's not makeup, man. That's real footage.
But it you're joking. You have stop messing with me. It's great, but you need to do the lighting better. You need so we can see it. You can't really see anything.
Yeah, that's a big thing. They're like, you should have shown it for a couple more seconds. A split second, that's nothing. And he's like trying to explain it. No, this isn't a movie I'm making. This is a documentary. Well, whoever did your makeup, I mean, it looks good, but I mean, you should light it better. Like, they're not catching on that he's telling them this is from.
So, I forget what happens. He gets mad. He goes back. He tries to amend to.
He goes back and talk to Ray, and they're getting annoyed, but they've left the cameras up. They've gone back and put more cameras.
Oh, yeah. So they go back without his permission and they put cameras up. I think, actually, no, they do get his permission. They finally agree.
They work with him. They go back. They put up cameras and they get more footage because they left the cameras up overnight. They didn't stay around. And that's when they capture what looks like some kind of tall creature in like the darkness.
No. They capture a spider.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like some weird
hole. Like half man, half spider creature.
And they're all like, oh my God, there it is. I've never seen this one before and everything. But so he's happy. All right. Well, you did it my rules. We put the cameras up. We didn't put the lighting. We're good. All right, so he's working with them again and everything.
But then things get weird again. Mm-hmm. So first what happens is I think there's four or five cameras. Camera number one is knocked off, knocked to the ground, basically broken. Camera number two
goes
missing. Yeah. Nobody knows where it is. And then you have three, four, and five, and those are the ones directly around the marrow. So they're watching it, and they keep coming every night. I think it has a direct feed to him, and they're watching it every night. And eventually they see Ray Wise's character show up in the middle of the night. He goes over to the hole. He flicks off one camera. He flicks off the fifth camera. He leaves the fourth camera.
Because he probably forgot it was even
there.
Yeah,
they're joking how like he probably didn't even know that we had all these cameras set up. He only saw the ones we put up.
And it's funny because you see them talking. They're like, he knows we're going to see this. Why is he turning off the cameras? He knowing we're going to see this. And they're like, well, the idiot left one on. So
he missed one. So they watch him go over to the hole, and it looks like he has like baby food or something in a jar, and he's got a spoon.
Yeah,
something in a bag, and he's got a spoon, and he's reaching his hand into the marrow.
And he seems to be feeding. They're like, he's petting something. Wait, no, no. And they're like, is he feeding something? And you see him grabbing something out of his bag, like a spoon, and putting it into there. And then like he's feeding something inside the hole. And then he starts what looks like petting his head. Then he stops.
And then he starts crying, bawling his eyes out. And then he gets up and he walks away.
He gets up, turns the cameras back on, and he leaves. So then at this point, they're like, there's something going on. And it's funny because they're finally upset. They go back. They go back to him and they get into an argument because after this, now he's pissed. It's like, all right, why'd you lie to me? Where the hell is your son? You mentioned your son. I don't want to talk about my life. It's not about me. All right, fine. How about the fact that you told me you only went to me? There's a bunch of other people laughing at me because you've gone to them and they won't take you seriously, and I haven't.
They also bring something else up interesting. When you first walk into his house, when they're first leaving, there's a door with a bookshelf in front of it, and the bookshelf is chained to the door, and the door is chained to the wall with big, thick chains and big, thick padlock.
He's throwing all these questions, and the guy's like, oh, no, you know what? We don't have to work with each other anymore. That's it. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you no more. So they're like, all right, fine. And they go do an investigation on him. They look him up. And they go to, because he said he was a detective in Boston. So they go to Boston, talk to the cops, and the cops are like, yeah, we've never heard of him.
We have no idea who this man is.
And the cop is a fairly older guy. You would think he's been there for a few years, yeah.
He looks older than Ray Wise. Ray Wise, I can't remember his last name.
And then they go back to the opening of The Marrow.
But this is the first time they go without him.
Yeah, and they're like, we're going to get something. I don't give a shit this time. We're putting up all the cameras.
But they get kind of too ballsy. They start, it's almost like they don't care anymore. And they go up to the Marrow. They walk right up to it.
Right up to the,
and they start actually playing a joke where I think Adam says,
he's like, something grabbed me.
He puts his leg in.
Ha ha. Oh, I didn't fall. I'm not falling for that. All right, fine. So then they're, walking away, and he goes, oh, shit. And he almost falls in. He goes like, what? Something just fucking grabbed me. Dude, you're going to try and trick me with the same trick twice? Seriously? Right after each other? He goes, no. And he like lifts his leg up. He goes, some shit just took my boot.
Yeah.
He's like, no, something grabbed my boot. And then he goes back, looks around, pulls his boot out of like whatever. But he goes, there it is. No. Something pulled this off. And then Ray Wise shows up out of nowhere. What the fuck are you guys doing here?
Oh, yeah. And they
Let's get out of here. Turn those lights off.
So they get together and they start talking. And basically, Ray Wise says something along the lines of, I'm going to show you it. I'm going to show you everything. I'm going to tell you the truth. Come find me.
But first, let's get out of here. Let's go to the parking lot. Let's get out of here. Turn these lights off. Let's leave the hole.
They're completely away from it now. And they both agree that we're going to meet up sometime. I think it's like 8 a.m. the next day. We're going to get together. We're going to finally go into the hole and like get everything you need.
Yeah, we'll do everything. I'll do everything you want. Fine. And then what? It's like a day or two passes and they're like, yo, this guy is freaking cold.
Yeah. So they finally get mad and they go to his house. And they go knock on the door. They knock on the door. They knock on the door. They knock on the door. No answer. Usually he answers right away. They go over to the neighbor's house and they ask, where's the old man been who's been living here? No one's ever lived here. This house is foreclosed. This is a zombie house.
Yeah, like no one lives in there. No one lives in that house. Wait, what? So what do? They bust in.
Oh, they go into the house. The house is cleaned out.
This buster is gone. But guess what they do find? Hey, look, that bookshelf is not in front of that door anymore.
Let's go into the room. They go in. They find this basically, it looks like a room out of Saw, right?
Yeah, it's newspapers on the floor. They're like, oh, it stinks in here. There's chains to the wall. Was there a cage? I don't remember if there was a cage.
No, there's just chains on the wall.
But chains to as if something was chained to the wall. And then there's like, is that poop?
Yeah.
No one told you to use the poop. There's it, and quite honestly, basically, he's had something locked up in there. God knows what. So now it's like, what the hell is this guy doing with the mirror? All right, he's petting something. He's feeding something in there. He's crying.
And then there's something that's been locked in his house. And that room is pretty decently destroyed and messed. Something's been in there for a while.
Yeah. So finally, like, you know what? That's it. We're going back tonight.
So they finally go back because they decide, we go back tonight. We're going to find him there. He's going to be there because they just know he's going to be doing that weird stuff. Plus, they have to also go back and get their cameras, right?
Yeah, because their stuff is there. They still have their cameras up. And
they go there, and I don't remember the actual sequence of events.
I think, yeah, they're basically there. He shows up and he's yelling at them, leave it alone, whatever. And he's like, no, he's like yelling at them, like, turn the freaking lights off. You're going to ruin this for me. Now it doesn't even care. He doesn't care about the thing. You're going to ruin it. And then they hear sounds and they're like, what is that? And they're like, shh, the camera, they're still arguing. The camera guy's moving around. And this, honestly, I have to explain. This little creature comes rolling, running by their feet.
It's kind of hard to describe. It's just horrific looking.
Honestly, the best way I can describe it looks like a horrific looking Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Kind of, yeah. Actually, yeah.
And you see them scream, ah, what the hell is that? And then they're like looking around, what the hell is it? And then you see something else. Now, I don't want to go into too detail on what happened, though. But there's something else there, and it's not happy this time.
No.
They essentially get chased to their car.
Oh, and then Smiley is there waiting for them.
Yeah, they're trying to drive away. They turn the lights on. It's standing right in front, but with its back turned to them.
And it turns around, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it won't let them leave. They try to like drive because it's a couple of feet in front of the car, but it's obviously standing.
They
in front
try
of the
to
car.
Go around them,
and they try to go around the left. It steps to the left, try to go to the right, and then basically, it
throws its cloak off.
Yeah, and this thing reveals itself, and ooh, Beyonce ain't got nothing on this.
Oh God! Now that I have to say, when I saw that thing, scared the living hell out of me.
Yeah, it didn't look happy. It didn't look friendly
because they don't really go in a lot of the time when Ray Wise's character is talking about these creatures. He doesn't go into detail what they look like, what they really look like. Because most of the time when you see them, when they're walking around, or you see them even coming out of the marrow, they're covered.
And it's in the dark, too.
He also explains that they're ashamed about how they look, so they cover themselves.
Yeah, especially when they're going out. Essentially, they get attacked. They get the hell out of Dodge. The Ray guy's gone. They don't know what the hell's happened with him. They're all freaked out, and he's kind of like, okay, that guy's gone. We got attacked. I don't know, basically, what to do. Then the movie kind of just goes quiet, and next, it's Adam Green talking to the camera, explaining how, you know, he hasn't heard from the Ray guy. They went back. The hole's completely covered. Everything's gone. But they're missing cameras back.
And it came in the worst way.
It got returned. And then he's like, and it was brought back to me, and this is what was on it.
So your first shot, it's in front of his house. It's the front door, and something's there, and it's tiny. It's like a half the size of a human, I'd say, right? Normal person?
Yeah, it looks like if someone's carrying, it looks like a little kid is, if it's, you gave like a 3-year-old kid a camera to carry and they walk up to this house.
It's breathing heavily. And it's walking. So it starts walking towards the front door, and every step, it limps. Eventually, it reaches out and opens the front door like it was unlocked.
So we have an asthmatic bow-legged midget carrying a camera to this house.
So it walks in with ease and it starts walking around his house. And it's all filmed. And it walks into his bedroom with him and his new wife. He looks into the room where they were getting ready for their first kid.
They're in bed, sleeping. This thing walks in, puts the camera on the nightstand next to him. And then you see them just sleeping. You see the hand reach out towards his face, right? And this hand looks hideous. It looks like it's got 3 fused fingers, and it's just silence. You hear it breathing still, and they have no clue this thing's in there. It's just reaching and, you know, and then it just
cuts.
The end. There is another scene, but I don't want to say talk about it. I'll just say the cage. But I'm going to leave that for the people. I mean, we gave almost the entire plot of the movie. We gave away a lot, but that's...
That last scene is really what drives this whole movie home.
Yeah, it's all built up until then. God damn, like you said, it's a good... I think it's a good movie. I've watched it a couple of times now myself, actually.
I don't know if I could really sit down and watch that movie again, even as much as it's just so unnerving. Especially, you know, it really comes down to the fact of he does a good job of making this be like, well, what if?
Yeah, that's basically what this whole movie is. What?
And it's a good theory. I mean,
it's a great idea for a series, as far as books, comics, or everything. These, you know, basically follow the freaks. You know, think about like Anne Rice's novels. So she has the Talamasca, the people that follow and just watch the vampires. They don't get involved. Could you imagine? Because who's to say he's the only guy following these creatures, and who's to say that maybe someone is onto it? Because what I find very interesting is you can connect this to something, to a bunch of other horror monsters like Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, and you know, on top of it, it's kind of odd that there's nobody else looking at it, but at the same factor, these creatures seem to know when they're being watched.
Yeah,
it's pretty fast.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, this whole movie, other than the fact that he said he does a whole convention circuit, because that could be a couple of months. If he didn't do that, this whole movie looks like it takes place maybe within about a week or two. And that's just the movie. And for all we know, the guy himself was watching before they started filming the movie for maybe about a month or so. He doesn't say how long, but he says it's a recent hole.
Well, what? With the way that room looks when they finally get into that house when it's empty.
And how long can you live in a house before someone realizes someone's living in the house too? So yeah, it's not like he's been there for years or like months. Like, looks like he might have been a couple of weeks, literally.
You know, it's just the whole, once you start really seeing the creatures, it really drives home that Adam Green did a really good job with this film.
It's funny. I think it's a good movie. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 56.
You know what it probably gave it a 56 is because a lot of people out there are tired.
You got to like the monster better. That's probably why.
You know what? It's probably also a lot of, well, I don't like any of Rotten Tomatoes scores. Usually if Rotten Tomato gives it a bad review, it's a movie I like.
Uh-huh.
But it seems that, you know, I could see why a lot of people would have an issue with this film just because of the fact that it's a documentary type film. People I could see are getting tired of that. But I mean, I could say I'm one of those types, but this movie really...
But it works because really, it's really not works. Just a found film. It's a documentary movie. It's not just, all right, just watch with this guy. They're actually talking to the camera and everything. You know, the Adam Green's like, this guy's a nutbag, but we're going to go talk to him. Let's see what we get.
And it's almost kind of like it mocks what one of those kind of found footage films would be.
Yeah, I'm happy we didn't have to deal with, like, no idiot in the forest. Like, oh my God, you guys! You guys!
And, you know, it also makes me kind of happy that it's not, it really isn't a found footage movie, because technically there is a found footage.
Yeah, well, not necessarily found, more like returned, mother.
Yeah.
Stay out of my house. Stay out of my life. But yeah, it's not the found footage where it's like, no one knows what happened to them, but we found the videotapes or the DVDRs or the cameras or whatever.
Hell. And he doesn't try to push it down your throat that this is the marrow. This is a real thing. And also, at the end, Adam Green is pretty green, and he doesn't want anything to do with this anymore.
Yeah, at the end, when he's presenting that video saying, I got the camera returned, he doesn't, right when you see him, he doesn't look right. He's sitting, you know, quietly. He's, like, barely staring at the camera. He's all quiet.
Sweating.
He don't look right.
And on top of it, he's, the whole film, he's very charismatic.
Yeah, he's very upbeat. He's very happy. And at the end, he just kind of, call me my man. This ain't me, man. This ain't me. If you get my reference.
Me, no. But I laugh. I'll laugh for your courtesy.
Jesus, thanks. Well, like I said, that's 2014's Digging Up the Marrow. Go find it. It's got to be available, you know, depending if you have Netflix, Amazon, there's Crackle. Go to your local Blockbuster if you're out in like the middle of Arizona. I don't know. I don't live in Arizona. I don't know what's out there. Nebraska, do you have Blockbusters? I have no clue. I haven't been there. I like drove through there once.
There's always Adam Green. Email him. Everyone email him.
Yeah, email him. Go on IMDb, email and be like, yo, I heard you made a movie. Did you get scared? Did you shoot it yourself?
Where can we get this? Or are you just going to make me have to steal it?
Yeah, because I forgot where we saw it. I don't even remember. I mean, doing this and going to the conventions, we get a hold of so many movies. There's so many we can talk about. There's so many we don't talk about because we're being nice. We talk about the ones that we like. Maybe we will do an episode about the ones we don't like, or rather enjoyed for the wrong reasons.
Well, there's always The one that you, there's one.
Oh, go ahead, just say it.
We recently watched the film called Bigfoot versus Zombies. Is that how it went, the title?
Bigfoot versus Zombies. And then there's a other one from like the, I was telling you about, Zombie Lake. Oh my God, there's so many movies. But that's for another time.
Bigfoot versus Zombies. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. Go. We're going to probably talk about this one.
Digging up the marrow.